Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We're very happy to continue our new regular feature on the Roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It is our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and events and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight Vermont and specifically an event entitled The Evolution of Sports Writing. Sports Illustrated senior writer Alexander Wolf traces how journalism's toy department has responded to social movements, the rise of televised sport, and the digital revolution. Alexander Wolf has been on the staff of Sports Illustrated since September 1980. In 1985, he was named a senior writer, and today he serves as the longest tenured writer on staff. He is going to be speaking about the evolution of sports writing at the Rutland Free Library on May 1st at 7 o'clock. It's part of the First Wednesday's Vermont Humanities series, and we talked to him about that this morning. Alexander, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, happy to be with you, Joe.
Thank you very much for being with us. Also joining us is Sylvia Plum, Director of Communications at the Vermont Humanities Council. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you here as well. Let us talk first, Sylvia, about this Vermont Humanities series and First Wednesdays and how all of this came about and what you hope to accomplish with it.
Well, the lecture series started in about 2003 in one library here in Montpelier. And since then, we've added communities every few years, and we're at 9 right now, which is where we need to stay for the moment. But it's a very eclectic series. It has a wide variety of topics that will be interesting to a diverse group of people. And one of the really cool things, so if you can imagine on one night in Vermont, this time it'll be May 1st, more than 700 Vermonters gather at 9 different sites at their local libraries to listen and participate in talks on a wide variety of topics. So it also can be kind of like college, where you might have not been interested in a particular topic, but you had a professor that was just an amazing teacher and lecturer, and you just fell in love with the topic because of that. So we have those kind of responses coming from people. So it's been very wonderfully received.
When you talk about a variety of topics, obviously the sports topic is one, but I was looking at the brochure last night. I mean, you're all over the board, humanities
speaking. We are. And one might wonder, well, why would sports be the humanities? And sports is something that's woven into our lives, and there's so much to discuss about it: competition, the hero, leadership, literature, ethics, women in sports, the history of sports. So you could take almost any topic and use it as a window into the humanities to come up with some great conversation that will help us all understand each other, become better informed citizens so that we can be informed citizens of this country and of this world. On Wednesday, in other communities, we have another author, David McCauley in Essex Junction, will be talking about the process of building books and illustrating. In Brattleboro, we have Frost and Wordsworth with our poet laureate, Sid Lee. We have a program on Bach and Middlebury. I'm trying to make sure I cover your listening area.
The easy way to do this, of course, is go to vermonthumanities.org, and you can see the brochure and find an event near you, or even when
yes.
it isn't near you, and travel over and hear and take part, which is the wonderful part of all of this, is to tap people on the shoulder and remind them the great things that are nearby. Alexander Wolf is going to be speaking on May 1st at 7 o'clock at the Rutland Free Library, a part of this First Wednesday's Vermont Humanities series, and as I mentioned, talking about the evolution of sports writing. What do you find fascinating about that topic, Alexander?
Well, first of all, it hits very close to home. As my vocation is changing, really revolutionizing itself rather than evolutionizing itself, my very employability is sort of hanging in the balance. So that's very immediately fascinating. But, you know, having been at this for more than three decades, actually beginning banging out my stories on a portable manual typewriter and sending it in by telecopy, as opposed to today just clicking the send button on an email attachment, I've lived a lot of these changes. And Sylvia did mention just how the humanities are woven into sports. I think particularly from a writer's perspective, there's so many things that sports deliver to you if you're a writer. They deliver characters. They deliver definitive results. There's a winner and a loser at the end of the day. We have great tales of overcoming obstacles, whether on a microcosmic level in the course of an individual game or match, or on a more macro level where somebody has stared down and overcome some huge obstacle from their youth or an injury. So I've always found it to be very, very rich clay to mold. And I think the only difference that we see today compared to 30, 40 years ago is the platform, you know, just how these narratives are told. And a colleague of mine, Steve Rushen, who began his career tossing copies of the Minneapolis Star Tribune onto stoops when he was a paper boy and is, you know, now reading that newspaper, the Star Tribune, on his smartphone, he likes to point out just how revolutionary this has all been.
It certainly has been revolutionary. The key to it all, though, is, as you mentioned, is the content. And when you talk about the evolution of the writing, for you as a writer, has it changed the way that you convey a story? Is it because the platform is different? Does one impact the other?
Yeah, I think it has and it hasn't. It has. There is that sense that your readership is accustomed to consuming news maybe in smaller bites at a time, and that there's so many more things competing for that reader's time, and we're more and more aware of that. But I also think that the hunger that people have to be told stories. It goes back to hunter-gatherer days when people gathered around campfires and cave paintings or narratives. You know, it's a very primal human need to be told a story, and that isn't going anywhere. I think that's still very much intact. It's simply a new delivery vehicle. So it has and it hasn't. I mean, I think the magazine makers back in New York who put our weekly magazine together every week have to be cognizant of how people are consuming news. Yes, we on the writing staff now both file to our website and write longer pieces for the magazine and actually tweet out news as it happens. But I do think that fundamental need to hear a story and be grabbed by one remains, and I'm grateful for that because when I ponder my employability, it suggests that there's still a place for me.
And when it comes to the subject, And I loved I read it in the introduction, but it was something that was in the graph about the event of journalism's toy department, of which would indicate, you know, it's that second or third section in the paper that a lot of people go to first, and yet it's the one that is it is play versus the serious stuff. But it doesn't take away, especially in Sports Illustrated's case, from the quality of the writing.
Well, and I think more and more so, and certainly in the last 20, 25, 30 years, that toy department that really should appear in quotes, sports has spilled over into the real world, the adjacencies of the real world, and likewise those other subjects adjacent to sport have affected sport so profoundly, particularly economic things, and when you have players opting out of participating in games for religious reasons. I mean, it's a window in, too. I think in a lot of ways, people want to push away stories that challenge them or deal with difficult subjects. And if you can somehow braid those subjects to sport, it's a little bit like that spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. So I found myself over the years writing a lot of stories of that ilk, and always do try to find a way to bring them to an audience that might not otherwise be interested in it.
That's what's so great about the humanities, is that it does help you talk about difficult subjects through stories, through somebody else's story. And it's so much easier to do it than hitting it head on sometimes.
In a perfect world, Sylvia, for people, and let's use Alexander's event as an example, what do you hope people get out of it? What do you hope is accomplished at that library in Rutland or in Middlebury or in Manchester?
Well, we, of course, want people to learn something new. It's helping to support the library as being a vibrant part of the Rutland community. We hope that they enjoy themselves. Sometimes I think that enjoyment of and the pleasure of the humanities is missed as something that's very important. So we want them to have fun. Every single one of these lectures has a Q&A at the end, and every one of our programs involves Q&A, so we want a conversation to take place as well, because when that starts happening, you have people reflecting more and maybe challenging each other on their ideas, beginning to understand somebody else's point of view. So we want that to happen.
Yeah, and I might underscore that Q&A part. I love the give and take when I talk to audiences about what I do. And one of the ironies here is that one of the reasons sports writing has changed so much recently is that fans are sports writers now, too. They post on their blogs, and even athletes are, because they're tweeting out what they have to say. So we're in this very democratic era in sports writing. So for me to stand behind a lectern on next Wednesday evening in Rutland and propose to speak down from on high to anybody, and I specifically wanted to speak in Rutland because it's a sports town, and there are people there care about sports. I think that would be the wrong thing for me to speak at the audience or down to the audience. I really do want to engage them and hear what they have to say, because that's where I'm going to learn, and that's where we get greater truths, I think, when we get good conversation.
And just because I'm curious, Alexander, when you speak, I mean, is it about writing overall, or are people interested in your thoughts about particular issues, about particular teams, about particular trades, and so forth?
Well, I intend to talk about the craft of sports writing,
sure,
and history. And
well, I know what you intend to talk about, but when you open it to the audience, then what happens?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes people want to know what Charles Barkley is really like.
And yeah.
But sometimes that's a
kind of nuts,
way
right? That's the easy way to answer that, right?
Yeah, he's nuts, and then we can just move on. But or I could say we have no idea what he's like. It depends on the weather, you know. but that might be just the icebreaker that gets us to something else. And
right.
That's you know, it's like good conversation over a table in a cafe, except enlarged by a factor of 80 or so. You know, that would be my ideal. And one of the great rewarding things about this job has been, yeah, there have been these great moments and these fascinating personalities and coaches and athletes I've gotten insight to and been able to share that. But it's also been an ongoing education in terms of, you know, how do you tell a story? How do you gather the facts that have to inform it? You know, this isn't fiction. This is, you know, maybe there's a little myth-making that goes on kind of inadvertently, but
sure,
you're still doing the due diligence of gathering the facts and telling truths, but trying to do it in an entertaining way, and maybe in a way that people draw some inspiration from it, whether it's a 12-year-old kid who's aspiring to great things maybe sometime in his or her athletic life, or it's a senior who's looking back at, you know, maybe thinking really fondly of stuff that happened back in the 50s and 60s and everything else has gone to hell in a handbasket, you know. So if we get that kind of audience and those varying perspectives and we mix it all up in the cauldron, I think we'll have a great time.
Alexander Wolf will speak about the evolution of sports writing at the Rutland Free Library May 1st at 7 o'clock. It's part of the First Wednesday's Vermont Humanities series. You can find out more by going to vermonthumanities.org. Alexander and Sylvia Plum, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.